family day, Christmas day. It's just come up too quick, hasn't it? Isn't it amazing? It's just boom. It's just right here on us, and the time isn't accelerating. And the Holy Spirit gave me a couple of years ago one of the most wonderful, anointed, apologetic kind of reasonings in Christ of how that the acceleration of time, which is theoretically impossible but really is happening, is one of the key signs to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was like 5 or 6 pages, and it wasn't me because I'm not really that smart, but it was really a tremendous argument, and it just absolutely proved that what we're sensing in the natural is a spiritual happening or phenomenon, if you want to say. It really is. And people are saying, you know, they've always said, you know, that time is really, you know, once you get a certain age in it. Yes, I understand that. But if you're like really aware of things around you, and you are coming more and more so to that awakened sense, the church of Ephesus, that awakened sense, you know that your spirit is telling you. So that is the greatest thing. It's not just your senses. Your spirit is telling you that there's an acceleration that is so, it's so fast that it's beyond human comprehension. It's just like every day is a Monday, and every day is a Tuesday, and every day it's a barrage. It just goes by, and it's all one. And so that tells us a couple of things. The bridegroom is coming back, and he's going to come back very soon. And Candy and I are not sadistic in any sense of the word. I've never been, as in Christ, more happier with life and with grandchildren, and those are just absolute blessings. But at the same time, there's something inside of me that is really, really anticipating all this getting over with. And you know, if you talk to people, and you can kind of get an idea of where people have been spending a lot of their life, thought life, and how much they've been giving to the natural versus the spirit and things of the spirit. Because if you give yourself more and more to the things of the spirit, then you'll have a heavenly disposition and an eternal disposition. Now, it's your God-given heritage as a son or daughter to believe for all of your children, believe them in the kingdom, and believe for long life. Long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation, he says. But you watch how people take things, how it destroys their life when something, the people that are not outside of Christ or that are outside of Christ, and then people that are inside, that are supposedly born again, and how that even hard times, it's their thought process. It's everything that their mind is on. And so you're aware of it because you're having to make ends meet, and then hard things will come at you. But it really, your disposition is always, I know I'm going to get past this because the fact of the matter is, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And everything is temporary. Everything is real, real temporary. So back to what I was going to say was that we're not sadistic, but we often talk about the beautiful part about dying and getting old. Because I can tell you one thing. You're listening to my voice right now. And just like you walking outside of these doors, 20 years will pass. They really will. And It won't be long. You know, I've lived half of my life already. At least half of it. The other half will go just like that. So I'm very ambitious, like many of you, about spending these last fleeting moments. They're just fleeting. The Bible says it's but a vapor. Those last fleeting moments of my life, giving Him all I've got. Hallelujah. Giving Him all I've got. So you won't miss anything. I mean, you won't miss your children growing up, or you won't miss the value. In fact, it seems like this. The more you give Him, He promises you, the more you'll get back. In fact, you want to, if you were a wine taster, you know, they smell, they got the whole thing. You know, I haven't been a wine bibber, but, you know, I'm not condemning people that, who whatever. You know, they smell the cork. And then they got to look at it, smell the glass, and then they got to swoosh it in their mouth. They got to, before they take a gulp, it's like, I've got to really. Now listen, there's never been a man that's more alive. You embrace Him, you embrace all that life has. And the very lie that is from the pit is like, if I give Him everything, what am I going to trade off? What am I going to miss out on? You're not going to miss out on nothing. Hallelujah. What about all the services that I'm required to come to? You're not required to come to anything. You're doing it because you love Him. Hallelujah. And that reminds me. Friday night, we will have Calling in the Lost. Hallelujah. It's good to be back. Thank you, Jesus. And then probably not that following Friday night, we won't. So a few announcements. Praise God. This Friday night, okay? Just lift up your hands and magnify with me. Father, we love You. Oh, hallelujah. You are so worthy, Jesus. I feel and know and sense Your peaceable presence in here. We don't have to make, I don't have to make anything happen. You are what is happening. You are the fullness of life. And I praise You and give You all the glory. I thank You that we can go forth in You and move and live and have our being in You. I give You all the praise. I give You all the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless You, Jesus. Yes, sir. Thank You, Jesus. For I'm showing You a more new and living way, saith the Spirit of grace. For know this, that as you go in to Me and offer yourself to Me, that the climb into more of who I am, or the walk into more of who I am in You, becomes accelerated by these places in Me in which You stop and receive My habitation, saith the Spirit of grace. So know this, that there is a reward, not in the time which is to come, but there is a tremendous reward for you now, as in your senses and in the settlement of what life is, and everything that surrounds you. The greatest. He's saying that the greatest that this life has to offer is a place of stillness, where things, even an accelerated life and world inside of you, things become still. So this is what the present reward is for turning yourself over. In a time of acceleration is a stillness, an absolute stillness, so that inside of you everything slows down while everything else around you is accelerating. saith the Spirit of grace. Faciate corostala dehidiete. For many and much of my church who loves me and will one day reside with me have fallen into the traps of running in the spirit that is of this world, not being of the world, but running in the spirit or with the spirit that is of the world, taking heed of going here and there at a rapid pace because of what they feel is demanded on them. But know this, there is a place of stillness in me that governs all your coming and all your going to the place that everything around you becomes profitable both for you and for your assignment on planet Earth. Resce, I desire to change your profitability, being your father, to begin first for you, that your life is more profitable in peace, in joy, in family, in finances, in all these things. But do not run, as it were, with an acceleration of the world, but take your cues from me and listen and follow me. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I don't want to go past that just for a moment. Father, we just love you. We receive this grace. Hallelujah. We receive this grace. Hallelujah. Oh, come upon us, Holy Spirit. Marios, oh, come upon us, Holy Spirit, for this purpose. Hallelujah. 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 We're not of this world. We've been pulled out of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't labor according to it. Hallelujah. We don't run according to it. Hallelujah. We don't do our business according to it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. I bless you. I bless you. Hallelujah. Do you know you've been pulled out of it? You've been pulled out of it. Your new nature is not just it's what separated you. But you're truly an alien. You're truly an alien. The choice that you have every day is this. You can, the enemy will come. He'll come like clockwork. It is so subtle you don't even know that he's there. You think it's your thoughts. He'll try to come before coffee. He'll try to come before the bathroom break and just try to tell you that you're mere human and in frail flesh. And it'll try to remind you of faults, indifferences, weaknesses, busy schedule. You got the whole thing set in front of you, just almost like a doormat every day. But understand this, you're not any of that. You've received a higher, the new nature, the DNA of the new nature now has. Now it's been crowned. It's not only in and of itself. In and of itself, it's not a spirit of fear. So if it's not, then it is a domain spirit. It's a ruling spirit that has a dominion that is set apart inside of it. It has a domain that it just rules out of. It's not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sanity. It's a sanity. That new nature is a sanity. It has a quietness to it. But on top of that, then what crowned it is the Holy Spirit came on top of that. So you watch, and I say this very complimentary, so that if anybody listens, you watch a Baptist person who've taken the new nature to its full place. They live real sane. And they live real prosperous. And things around them can thrive. Just by the new nature. And they take a dominion over sin. They live clean lives. But then the Holy Spirit came and He anointed that new nature. Hallelujah. So when we get up, tomorrow when you get up, everything's in front of you. You have a dominion. You have a dominion. And that, it's amazing, that dominion will work. It'll prosper your business, but it'll also prosper your prayer life. Because you've got a call. You've got a occupation, but you've got a vocation as well. And these signs shall follow them that believe. That's where we were at Sunday. Let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. We went to John 15 or 16 last week. He's just having me exhort now. And we talked about the foundation. I was talking to Maria after the service, and she said, "Man, I was talking to somebody this past week," and she goes, "That's right where we were at, or that's right where we were discussing." And they said, that's what Pastor was talking about tonight. Just some things that they were discussing with Maria, or questions they had with her, or whatever dialogue was going on there. And the foundation of all of everything that Christ was saying that he was able to do, of course, again, it's like something that won't quit around here. We just hear it and hear it. It's the foundation of love. And we reiterated again some of the things that we heard by the Holy Spirit that we knew. And the Holy Spirit sounds off again and says, this is not a chastening, it's an encouragement. When Pastor Dave came and said, look, if you knew based on what his personal prayer life, and he's not saying I'm up here, you're down here, but he's saying, look, wherever vantage point I'm at, whatever I'm looking at, I can tell you this. What I've seen in love, it has everything to do with answered prayer. It has everything to do with it. In fact, he used the word ought several times. And so we kind of coined it. He said, if you knew what ought, having ought, an ought kind of disposition or holding some kind of an offense, had with your prayers being answered or unanswered, he said you wouldn't even allow yourself, you know, the luxury of even getting mad. You wouldn't even allow your temper to come up, because it has everything to do. Well, we've all faced that. But here's our maturity. Our maturity is we're getting it quickly fixed. we don't allow anything. I mean, if it lasts 5 minutes, that's a duration. That's an eternity compared to the way it used to be. But that's the foundation, yes, that love. But another part of it is expectation, like these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, in John last week, we talked about, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And the old way to preach that was this, or I don't know, maybe some had it a long ways in front of me, was if you abide in me. In other words, if you have a real active prayer life and you're spending a lot of time and you're really abiding in him, then you'll ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. Well, and the fruit of that is true. Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, go into your prayer closet, close your prayer closet, do it in secret, pray in secret. And the God who sees you in secret, praying in secret, will reward you openly. Well, what kind of reward is an open reward? It's simply this. He doesn't call you up on the platform and say, hey, I want to recognize Pablo has been praying in secret a couple of hours a day, and he's going to get his reward. We'll put his name up on the bulletin board this week and move over Pastor's unmarked parking place and put him in there. Hallelujah. Because he has got an open reward. No, the reward for prayer is just this, a novelty. You get your prayers answered. An unusual thing for many Christians, they get answered. And I mean, they don't get answered way down the road. They start getting answered like right now. And then other people start coming to you with prayer requests and say, hey, Matt, would you pray for me? Hey, Otto, would you pray for me? Because, you know, they don't tell you that they've heard your track record. They just know and they understand. Hey, you know, when they pray, God answers. So that's the open reward. But we thought, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that was like a constant place, and it is. But what he was really saying was, disciples, I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman, meaning he's the vine dresser. He takes care of me. This vine that's full of sap, it's green, you cut into it. It's real. It's got a lot of sap. It's life. Me, Jesus, I'm life. Abide in me. The Levitical priesthood up till now was the branches. But every branch in me, I mean, back then, everything that was under the law was a part of that vine. But now, that's not going to work. Because I've come. And I'm the fulfillment of all. I'm Malachi's fulfillment. I'm Isaiah's fulfillment. I'm what Isaiah saw in the temple. I'm the glory that filled the temple and the train. That's me. That's me. That's my glory that I'm now going to give unto you through a new nature. So abide in me. So don't go back under the law. So what I'm saying all that for is to say this. It's not that we don't take on a disposition of prayer. We're supposed to. And you get your fair share. I don't think that any of you have not gotten a good dose of the necessity for your own personal prayer life and living a life where He can come and do something as a result of it. But listen, when Mark said, "These signs shall follow them that believe, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, take up serpents." We defined all that Sunday. Here's the deal. We went through the practicality of it. Wasn't that a wonderful time? We just had a good time. That little kid that was out there, I said, "I'm going out here pray for the sick." And he said, "I'm sick." It was just like right on cue. I was like, "Man, I need to give this kid $5." You know, it was just perfect. But I didn't read the other part of that. I don't know why. I forgot. But it just says that, "And they went out. And the Lord followed them, confirming with them." Confirming. Working. He said, that was it. He said, working with them. Working with them. Confirming with signs and wonders. And one of the things we said Sunday is, one of the reasons, now, we're not going to ever get away from love. And I'm not casting aside. Love's the foundation of way, you know, he really is. He starts in miracles in your life. But there's not enough been said on the reason why we don't see more miracles is that we're just not doing it. We're just not doing it. And so one of the things that he said, and I know you didn't go out of here with a weight on you, felt better, because I felt good. The church is fat on word, but skinny and frail, petite, on works. Here's the thing. When he was saying, "Abide in me and my words abide in you," you'll ask what you will. He was talking about a place that we've really, I've got to say it like this. The moment you get born again, you've already arrived to. That abiding was not go lock yourself up. That abiding was, you're christened now to do the works that I did. You can do also. You can do these things now. And the Holy Spirit, here's what I think what I'm trying to say is, He knows what He's trying to say. I'm following Him. He's already bent towards miracles. He's already, His disposition is already bent towards that. He already wants to follow you already. Anything that you're doing to draw closer to Him is only helping empower you more to work those works and do those things. But His disposition, His prone, His posture, His poise is this. He's already bent towards all these things. He's wanting to get out of the box. He's wanting to get out there. And so here's the thing. Here's our encouragement. Yes, love. Love. Follow love. Follow the path of love. But know that a big part of the workings of God in your life is just the expectation that I'm already in. I'm already in. And He wants to follow me with signs following, not to confirm me. The Holy Spirit gets an unbelievable joy in confirming Jesus Christ. He gets an unbelievable, I don't know if that's the best word to use with a faith message. He gets an incredible joy and almost a giddiness in confirming to the world and confirming to your family that Jesus Christ is real through the power that works in your life, so much so that you may not have all of your aces lined up and you're still in a changing process and everything's not right yet in the sense that there's still more of you that needs to be over on the part, the chopping block of mortification. But don't discount the fact that he's prone to. It's like He's leaning this way. He's already at a good 45. Leaning over towards miracles. So anytime you're out there in the world and you've not been the class act as far as what you think that like mortification picture looks like and agape looks like. Okay, agape, we know the foundation. Let's say the other part of it. You're already in. You're already abiding in Him. Because you've been born again, and you'd have to push the Holy Spirit back up into an upright position, which we already do most of the time because we argue with Him and say, oh, I can't do that because I've been messing up a little bit. Listen, just get it under the blood and let Him go back into His position, because the moment you say in Jesus' name, guess what? He'll come and do the work. Praise God. He'll come and do the work. Praise God. I was up here and she did this. She comes, come over here. I'll come over before service. She goes, you know that guy that we pray for? And sometimes I can't remember because I'm in, you know, the Spirit. But was it Sunday that we prayed for him? Because Sunday he got a cloth and the cloth hasn't even got to him yet. But we prayed over him and he supposedly has cancer. And he comes from Clewiston or someplace. So she doesn't see him all the time, but she called him on Tuesday. Is that correct? Tuesday. And just to let him know that we had prayed for him. And she's probably wanting to let him know that we had a prayer cloth. And he let her know. I mean, it was, you kind of wanted me to say this. She said, I don't know if I want to be the one, but you can kind of step in and correct me. But he kind of let her know that something really, she didn't have to go too far with it. He said he'd had the two best days, Monday and Tuesday, two best days of like being healed or feeling better than he'd had forever. So something touched that man's body. I mean, two great days he'd had, and we just prayed on Sunday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then I remember last Wednesday night, she said, you have the lady that was up here and kind of, you know, really, really worshiping a God. And I said, yes. And I think she's a Spanish lady. Yes. Okay. She came in here in break. Candy went back about the sound booth and she said, I've been looking all over, or I've been to every church or something. She was kind of lost or something trying to find this place, I think. Okay. For 54 days. Hallelujah. She wanted to testify. So Vinny told me that she could not, something terrible wrong with her vision when she got here. She drove back home to Fort Myers, not in a disposition of faith. She actually could see much better. And then the next day thought like, you know, I did about the headache last week. Like, is this going to last? And it did last. And she got up in the morning and her vision was still the same. And her vision was corrected, and it was all because of what happened in that service that night. Hallelujah. He wants to get out on people. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, a big part of us getting them born again is that we're not perfect yet. But when a guy says, I'm dying, or I've got a hearing problem, or he won't tell you that in a line, because we talk like that in church. Okay, we talk like, but when they mention what they're going through, the Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." So there's a wisdom that'll come. Don't sound churchy. Try not to sound churchy. Slip it in somehow. But, you probably won't believe this, but we have seen so many divine, or we call them, or incredible changes in people's lives by a prayer. And that's kind of what we believe over where we go. And would you mind if I prayed for you? Most, 99% of the people will say, it's fine, go ahead. Watch God. Watch God. In other words, if you put Him to the test, and I'm not talking about testing Him in a wrong way, if you just put Him out there and His name out there, you'll find the prone disposition of the Holy Spirit is to follow you with signs and wonders. And don't put yourself under a just pray it and walk away from it and believe God and watch them call you back or hear the report thereafter. Revival is intimate. It's coming. It's here among us. Hallelujah. Immokalee is saved. Hallelujah. Immokalee is saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. If other places are going to receive it, He loves us. There's no respecter of persons. We just keep doing what we're supposed to keep doing. Just keep worshiping God. Stay humble. Keep going forward. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Worshiping God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. In fact, once we find out how much He wants to do it, it's like we'll figure out we've almost been fighting Him on it. We've been trying to get Him to come to do it, and He's like saying, I love you, precious. Would you just get out of my way and let me do it? Okay, I'll do it, because that's just who I am. Hallelujah. That's just who I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to worship just a little bit more, and we're going to put, some baskets out here if you want to give a couple mil tonight, a couple $1 million or something. It'd be great. Hallelujah. But at any time before you leave, you could do that. Praise God. Friday night. And if you needed prayer tonight, while we're worshiping, just come up here. So, how many of you love Him so much? Jesus. I'm glad that you're here and I'm here and we're going forward. Hallelujah, Jesus. I bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, we're available for that. But praise God. Hallelujah. Immokalee is in revival. These signs shall follow them that believe. Praise God. In my name they'll cast out devils. Lay hands on the sick. They will recover. Amen, Reuben. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay.